Welcome. It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Mark LeVonier, your host for an hour of drama. Later on, we'll hear the Hallmark Playhouse from 1949, but first, an episode of Peril. Broadcast in the later 1940s, this story called The Mask of Hate.
Suspense.
Yep. Wagner.
Come in.
Thank you, sir.
You look all in. For love of heaven, sit down.
Thank you, sir. Well, they're pouring everything they have at us out there.
Yeah. We can't hold out much longer.
Any news on reinforcements, General?
Just had some news a while ago. That's why I ordered you to come here.
Yes, sir.
There will be no reinforcements, Wagner. We're expendable.
Oh.
That is, most of us are. But the commanding general wants at least 4 men to break out of the trap. 3 enlisted men and 1 officer. You're the officer.
I don't understand, sir.
The Jap is a new enemy. All the stuff we were told about him is fiction. He may be a fool in some ways, but he's a clever fool.
Yes, we've learned that, sir.
We've learned all right. We've seen thousands of our men cut down or marched off to prison camps. We've fought the Jap from the Army manual, only to learn that they fight a different way. We were told that all we had to do was fire our superior weapons and the Jap would run. He ran all right, but in our direction. Major, there are dozens of things about the Jap that we've learned the hard way. If we had that knowledge in the beginning, we wouldn't be sitting here in this trap.
Agreed?
Agreed, sir. Well, Major Wagner, that is why you're going south.
South?
On the first stage of a trip that'll take you back to the States.
The States?
Yeah. At least I hope so. You fought the Jap from the beginning, Wagner. A few months ago, you were only a second lieutenant. You don't go from second Louis to Major in a couple of months without having learned something. That's why they want you back, to teach our new army how to fight the Jap. As for the 3 enlisted men who'll go with you, they've been chosen for their experience, too.
Do I know them, sir?
No. At least I don't think so. They've been selected from other outfits. They've already been notified, and they're waiting for you in the briefing room. You'll meet them as soon as I've given you complete details.
Yes, sir.
Wagner, it's not going to be easy. You have to go through 100 miles of Jap-held jungle. This swamp, this fever, they're hostile natives. Ordinarily, it'd be foolish to expect 4 men to get through. But you've got to get through, Major Wagner. You've got to.
I'll be back in just a minute to tell you more of tonight's story, Mask of Hate.
Attention!
At ease, men. I'm Major Wagner. How much have you men been told?
Nothing, sir.
Well, we haven't much time, so I'll give it to you quickly. We're to go to Lake Sulo.
Lake Sulo? That's south, sir.
Yes, 100 miles south.
Are we going by boat, Major?
There are no boats left. We're footslogging it.
Huh? I hope the Japs don't hear about that.
They probably will before we're finished. We'll have to go straight through their lines.
Why are we going to Lake Sulo, sir?
Because an Australian seaplane can and will land on that lake.
We're going down to Australia, Major?
Yeah, we'll stop there, with luck.
Hey, that'll suit me right down to the ground. I've heard about them Aussie dames.
At ease, Cassetter.
Sure, Sarge.
Do you mind if I go on?
Nah, go right ahead, Major.
You're undoubtedly wondering why we've been ordered to do this. The answer is, the Army needs instructors who have actually fought the Japs.
We're going to be instructors, Major?
If we get through. You, of course, are Private Caserta.
That's right, Major.
You, Sergeant Burns?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And you're Sergeant Adams?
Yes, sir.
How much service have you had, Sergeant Adams?
4 years, sir.
You, Burns?
5 years, sir.
Private Caserta?
11 years, Major.
11?
If you're wondering why I'm a private, Major, have a look at my service record. You'll see I was a master sergeant until a week ago. The reason I was busted...
I'm not interested in knowing why you were demoted.
I smacked the captain and was court-martialed. Didn't like the captain. He was a West Pointer.
I'm a West Pointer, too. If you don't like taking orders from a West Pointer, you'd better let me know right now.
I learned how to take orders a long time ago, Major.
Well, don't forget how. Because I think you'll find me a lot tougher than that captain.
In what way, Major?
In all ways. Now, let's get things straight, the three of you. My job is to get this detail through to Lake Sulu. To me, you're not men, you're just serial numbers. Each of you is experienced and supposedly tough. Well, before we're finished, we'll see how tough you really are.
Well, that goes both ways.
11 years in the Army hasn't taught you very much, Caserta. How do you address an officer? How?
Sir.
That's the way I want you to address me from now on. Every time. The three of you. Got that?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll draw our supplies and get moving.
Should be through the Jap perimeter by now, sir.
Just about.
Down! Down!
What did you see, sir?
Sentry. Walking his post.
Yeah, I see him.
Happy little fella.
Quiet.
He's turned around, sir. He'll be coming back again.
I'll take him.
That'll be my job, Caserta.
Sir, I'm an expert at this. I'll do it. Yes, sir. Now!
That time.
We better move, sir, before we got more Japs on our hands.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah! There's a mob of them!
Fire away! All right, run! Come on, we've had the whole Jap army after us.
Wump.
It was either this or fight it out with the Japs.
They wouldn't have had any trouble if that Jap was kept quiet.
Yeah, good idea if you kept quiet, Caserta.
Yes, sir.
Dogs. The Japs are using dogs to track us down.
Yeah, we'll get low.
And this rotten stuff?
Either that or I'll slug you.
Stop.
Yeah, they may decide to come through the swamp. Get ready for them.
Further away.
What a break. They must have picked up another scent. Let's get moving. Here's a pretty dry spot. We'll rest for a while. Sergeant Burns.
Does going through this swamp take us out of our way very much?
Oh, about 5 miles.
5 miles. 5 stinking miles. And all because that Jap was given a chance to yell out.
He wasn't given a chance. The The first time I stabbed, the knife glanced off his shoulder blade.
The way I use a knife, I wouldn't let it glance off. Sir.
But you weren't given the job, Caserta.
Why wasn't I? I started to tell you I was an expert at that.
I don't have much confidence in an enlisted man who strikes a superior officer.
That captain had it coming.
Stop it, Caserta.
But you guys heard about it through the grapevine. You know that captain had
Adams is right. Drop it.
Sure, yeah. Drop it. It took me 10 years to become a master sergeant. And then in a couple of minutes, I lose it. Sure, I hit a captain. He didn't deserve to be an officer. He didn't deserve to be any kind of a soldier.
That'll be enough, Caserta.
Can't I even talk?
All I want you to do is obey orders. That goes for all of you. We've still got almost 100 miles of Jeff Hill jungle in front of us. And my job is to get through. And I will. Even if I have to do it alone.
You won't do it alone. I'll be right with you, sir. I'll show you what kind of a soldier I am.
I don't think you have it in you to be a good soldier.
We'll see, sir.
The three of you are on trial. You've had experience in combat, sure, but it remains to be seen if you have the guts. All right, let's get moving.
Yeah, but sir, we've only had a few minutes, right?
I haven't had any more rest than you have, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Get up. All right, Adams, you heard me. Get on your feet.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's the matter with you, Adams?
Nothing.
Yeah, but your eyes, your face.
I'm all right. I can do anything that Major Wagner wants us to do.
You'll get a chance to prove that, Adams. You'll all get a chance. All right, you men. Follow me.
In just a moment, we return with our story, Mask of Hate.
Firm ground at last. Thank heavens we're out of that swamp.
Yeah, well, keep moving. You ought to make good time on ground like this.
Oh, look, we were in that swamp for quite a while, sir.
So?
Well, Adams looks in a pretty bad way, sir. I think he's coming down with fever.
All the more reason for pushing on while we can.
I can't go on.
He's fainted.
Hey, hold his head up.
What are you going to do?
You'll see.
Why, you...
Don't say it.
No, I won't say it. But I'll be thinking about it, sir.
Adams, listen. Listen to me. Adams.
Yes, sir.
We've got to keep moving. You hear that? You're not to hold us up.
Yeah, but sir, he has fever.
Shut up, Sergeant.
Yes.
Adams, did you hear me?
Yes.
What did I say?
We have to keep moving.
That's it. Of course, you can just let yourself slump and fall to the ground. It's very easy to do that. Then a Jap patrol would find us.
Keep going. I'll keep going.
All right. Then start. Come on.
Come on. He can hardly walk.
Come on.
I've got you, Adams. Come on. Put your arm around my shoulder, huh?
He passed out again.
Yeah, we must keep going. We're making good time.
Well, you won't get Adams to walk. Not for a while yet, anyhow, sir.
You going to slap him again, sir?
Let me have a look at him.
Well, you can see he's had it for the time being, sir.
Adams.
I'd advise you not to slap him this time, sir.
I'll do what I think I should do, Private Caserta.
Just don't slap him.
You're threatening an officer?
I don't care what you call it. I'm just not going to let you smack this guy around.
What would you do, Caserta? Shoot me in the back? That's just the sort of thing you would do, you yellow.
Don't call me yellow.
If it wasn't for the fact that a Jet patrol might be nearby, I'd beat the daylight out of you.
And then if we got through, you'd charge me with striking an officer.
Oh, no. It'd be a private fight between you and me. No one else would come into it.
Maybe, sir. We can arrange an affair like that later on. Huh?
When the job is finished, private.
Now I really got something to look forward to. Sir.
Sergeant Burns. Yes, Sergeant Adams undercover.
Yes, sir.
Water. Water.
Yeah. Water. Sure, Adams. What? I'll get my canteen. It's empty. Burns, give me your canteen, will you? It's for Adam.
Yeah. Here you are. Careful, it's hardly half full.
Yeah. There you are, Adams.
That's enough.
Water, water.
Put the cap on that canteen, Private.
But he's only had a mouthful.
That's all he's getting for the time being. Put the cap on, Private. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Water.
I can't give you any more now, Adams. Have a rest, fella. You'll get some more water later. Try to sleep.
Cold now. I'm cold.
He's had it. Really had it.
How long can we stay here, sir?
4 hours.
Four? But Adams needs a rest.
If he's not able to walk in 4 hours...
You're not going to leave him here.
It's either that or carry him. If you like, you and Sergeant Burns can take turns at helping him along.
Maybe it'd be better if you left us three behind.
My orders are to get all of you through. Until it becomes impossible, I'll try to carry out that order. Down.
Hey, those shots came from up high.
Yeah, from one of those trees out there.
Yeah, sniper.
We'll be back in a minute to Peril and our story, Mask of Hate.
We've been lying here for at least 10 minutes.
He's waiting for one of us to show ourselves.
Why don't we go after him?
Because he's too well hidden.
But as soon as we find, we'd see him. That'd mean risking one man. You aren't worried about risking a man, are you, sir? Of course, the man he shoots at will probably be you. The chaps like to get the officers first.
I'm not going to get myself killed just to make you happy, Private. Listen, I'll go out there with a rifle. When I figure I'm close enough to where that shot came from, I want you to cause a commotion here and then show yourselves.
So that sniper has a target?
If you move fast enough, he won't have a chance of hitting you. Unless you're afraid, Private Caserta.
Don't you worry about my part of it.
You're forgetting my rank again.
Sir.
That's better.
Well, we'll need a signal of some kind, sir.
Yes. Listen. That'll be our signal.
The bird call?
Yes.
But how we know whether it's you?
This will be the call. Listen. That's a bird you won't see in this jungle.
Maybe the chap out there knows it, too.
Few people ever really listen to the bird calls they hear. Will you recognize that one when you hear it again?
Yes, sir.
Well, as soon as you hear it, make some noise and show yourselves briefly. When the sniper fires and gives away his position, I'll let him have it. Here I go.
Hey, I wonder what's going on out there. He's been gone for almost 10 minutes.
You know him. He's being careful. He doesn't like the idea of being shot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like him, but what he's doing takes a certain amount of nerve.
Yeah, sure. And how about us? We'll be making ourselves targets.
Yeah.
Hey, Adams. Adams is coming around.
Water. Water.
What'll I do?
There's hardly any water left. The Major said...
The devil what the Major said.
Water.
Yeah, yeah. Coming up, Adams. There. Now, fella. Have drink all you want. That's right. Have a good sleep.
Hey, there it is. That's the call. Make some noise.
Hey, fella.
Okay, stand up. He got him. There he goes. He's falling from the tree. Oh, that was nice shooting, sir.
Yeah. And now you can write yourself up for a medal, sir.
That's enough. How's Adam?
He's not too good, sir.
Water.
Give him a small drink of that water.
It's all gone.
What?
I gave it to him a little while ago. He was crying out for some, and you weren't here to give any orders, so...
Sergeant Burns, why did you let him do it?
Well, sir,
You were in charge?
Well, yeah, I know. I guess I just didn't think, sir.
No. A fine sergeant you are.
Water.
According to the map, there's a stream about half a mile away. We'll have to fill the canteens there.
That's easy enough.
Unless those shots bring a company of Japs down on us.
I'll go for the water, sir.
I can't depend on you, Private.
Sir?
Nor you, Burns. I'll go for the water. When I get back, we'll get moving as soon as we can.
Gone a long time.
Yeah.
Almost an hour.
Maybe you ran into some Japs.
Nah. We'd have heard some shots.
Not if they used bayonets.
You sound almost worried about him. As for myself, I hope the Japs did get him.
Water.
There's the guy I'm worrying about. The Major took all the canteens. We got to get some water for Adams.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go look for the Major.
Well, I think we should wait a little longer.
And you can wait. I'm going.
All right, Cassetta. I'll go with you.
We should almost be to the stream by now.
There it is. I can see it through the trees.
Yeah, yeah. Only a couple of yards away. What could have happened to the Major? It's taken us only 20 minutes to get here.
Hey, hold it.
Huh?
Look. Over there. Near that tree, see?
It's him.
Yeah. He's kneeling.
Let's get closer.
Just give me the strength to go on. Give me the courage to make them hate me.
Hey.
Hate. That's the only way I can get them through. Don't let me weaken. Let me be strong so that they can be strong.
He was praying.
Caserta, we've got to make him think we still hate him. Because that's his strength, too.
Yeah, but if we get through, I know one thing. I won't be fighting him.
Let's go back.
Yeah.
Sergeant Burns.
that concludes tonight's peril story, Mask of Hate. Well, friends, we hope you've enjoyed tonight's story. Join us again next week when we shall hear another exciting experience. Moments of danger and mystery in people's lives in our dramatic stories of peril.
Peril on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated broadcast from the later 1940s. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Next, the Hallmark Playhouse adapts a story that was first published in Harper's Magazine in May of 1926. It's Helen Rose Hall's Clay Shuttered Door, featuring an all-star cast including movie actress Jane Wyman. This CBS broadcast first heard on January 13, 1949.
Remember, a Hallmark card when you care enough to send the very best. Tonight from Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you Jane Wyman in Helen Rose Hull's Clay Shuttered Doors on the Hallmark Playhouse. Each week, Hallmark will bring you Hollywood's greatest stars in outstanding stories chosen by one of the world's best-known authors, the distinguished novelist, Mr. James Hilton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Hilton. Every now and then on our Hallmark Playhouse, we try to give you something really different. And tonight, I think we shall succeed. Our choice is a story called Clay Shuttered Doors by Miss Helen R. Hull. Maybe you'd call this a ghost story, or maybe you'd just use a term we all use pretty loosely. Maybe it's a case of mind over matter. You decide for yourself. As for me, I can't remember a story of its kind that impressed me more. If you feel about it as I do, I think you'll listen to it with the sort of absorption that a good ghost story gives, but with something else added, a moral that all of us could well learn. And I think you'll agree, too, that Miss Hull has proved herself adept at the creation of a mood. We are especially fortunate tonight in having with us to play in the starring role that very fine Hollywood actress who has been winning so many praises lately, Miss Jane Wyman. Hallmark Playhouse, presenting Helen Rose Hull's Clay Shuttered Doors and starring Jane Wyman.
Life sifts through our hands like the sand in an hourglass. But where does life end and death begin? The last grains fall, one by one, minute, almost invisible. And even time is a cheat for all its relentlessness. It was my last supper on Cape Cod. I'd spent all my summers there as a girl, even before my marriage to Wynne Corson, before the birth of my son, Fletcher. I hated the autumn. Hated the thought of returning to the large house Wynne had purchased on Long Island. But most of all, I hated leaving Mary, the one friend who remained exclusively mine for a lifetime.
Don't be so pensive, Thalia. We'll be seeing each other after all. I'll be living right in Manhattan.
Oh, I know, Mary, but it's been such a wonderful summer. So quiet and relaxing. Even Wynne is different when he comes up for the weekend. You know, he's been working so hard on this merger. If it goes through, he'll be the biggest distributor in the automobile industry.
Does the genius of the automobile industry mind my riding into town with you?
Oh, no.
Sometimes I don't think Wynne approves of me.
Nonsense. Wynne's very fond of you, just as I am.
Well,
here he comes.
Ready?
I've told Charles to take care of locking things up. No, it's raining like fury. It means a rough drive. I'd like to get started.
Oh, last minute me. I have a few things to pack yet. Will you excuse me, Wynne, Thalia?
Of course, darling.
It won't take me a minute.
Shall I pour you a cup of tea, Wynne?
Tea? Oh, for heaven's sake, Thalia. Let's get started, huh?
Oh, darling, don't you think you ought to put the chains on the tires? The roads are so slippery and wet.
No, I don't. I'm not going to listen to those things clanging all the way into town. Where's Fletcher?
He's all ready.
Now, see if you can't hurry Mary a bit, will you? She knows we're leaving.
I know. You know how she is, Wynne. I envy her.
Well, I don't. She's completely without purpose. You've outgrown her, darling. What good can she do you?
Why, she's my friend, Wynn. Ever since we were children, I've never wanted anything from her but that.
Well, see if you can't get a little speed along with it.
Look, Mother, look. We're on the Brooklyn Bridge. I want to see the cliff dwellers.
Cliff dwellers?
That's Wynn's name for people who live in apartment houses.
Ouch! I hit my nose on the glass. Why doesn't Father stay in the line? That other car almost smacked him.
Your father is perfectly capable of driving the car.
Wynn better get back in line at that. If a cop ever sees him over on this side, you...
Oh, Mary, he's going ahead in the wrong lane.
Maybe he sees an opening up ahead he can slip into.
Oh, but there are cars coming. Those headlights. Wynn, Mary, get down, Fletcher. Failure.
You blinded me with those lights, you imbecile.
Coming out of your lane like that on wet
pavement.
Mother, get
Fletcher, up. Fletcher, there. Wynn, come here.
What's the matter, Mary? You aren't hurt.
Failure. Her head must have hit the door.
I'll lift her out. Now, don't get hysterical. This is bad enough.
Let me through here. Let me through here. I'm a doctor. Don't do that. Don't move her, young man.
I think it's just shock.
Let me in there.
Hey, she's my wife. She's just fainted, hasn't she? That's all. That's it, isn't it?
Blow on the temple. Death must have been instantaneous. I'm very sorry, sir. Your wife is dead.
Mother,
no,
mother.
She isn't.
No,
you
Fletcher,
fool,
darling,
she isn't. Taylor, dear, hear me. Wake up. Wake up. Open your eyes. Open them. You must. Listen to me, dear. You weren't hurt. You can't leave me. You can't. Dearest, you... You can't leave me. I knew it.
I heard you calling me, Wynn.
I'm sorry.
You a doctor, you fat little fool. Get out of my way.
Is mother all right? The doctor said
yes,
that...
Yes, Fletcher, she's all right.
There's a cab in line here, Mary. I'll take Thalia. You bring Fletcher and another. I don't want him upsetting her.
My mother isn't dead. Is she? Is she, Mary?
No, Fletcher. No, she isn't dead.
Come in.
Are you all right, Thalia?
Why shouldn't she be all right? Nothing but shock, that's all.
I'm all right, Mary. Wynn says I'm all right. He'd know.
I sent Fletcher to his room, Wynn. He's quite upset. I think you'd better go in and talk to him before you bring him in here.
Yes. Guess I'd better at that. You'll call me if you want anything, dear.
Yes, Wynn. If I need anything that you have to give, I'll call you.
Are you really all right, Thalia?
Why, yes. Wynn loves me. He called me. He needs me. But it's so hard to get back in.
What did you say, dear?
I'll be myself again as soon as I've rested a little. Don't go away, Mary. Please stay.
Of course I will. Oh, Thalia, your hand is so cold.
I'm chilled, that's all. That's all, Mary. I'll be all right. Let me rest until dinner is prepared.
Yes, dear. Rest. Rest.
Tell the cook dinner's delicious, Henry. Bring me some strong coffee, plenty of it.
Yes, sir.
I can use some coffee after this evening, eh, Mary? Between you and that doctor and Fletcher, I was scared stiff. I know my girl. Look at her. Beautiful as ever.
I still think it wouldn't be amiss to call in a doctor and have him...
No. No. I don't want a doctor.
Of course she doesn't want a doctor. One idiot's enough for today. What do you want to do? Have another one come in here and tell Thalia that she's... That she's...
That I'm dead.
Yes, that other one. I don't even think he knew how to take a pulse.
Perhaps Mary should see a doctor, though, Wynn.
Thank you. I wasn't injured.
Wait a minute. Thalia has a good idea. After all, you were a passenger in the car.
You don't owe me anything, Wynn. I'm quite all right.
Well, that's good, good. But if anything does come up, let me know, huh?
Why, Wynn?
Why? Well, good heavens, Thalia. I don't want any claims or any publicity about the accident. I'm sure Mary understands that, even though she isn't as close to it as you are.
As close to what, Wynn?
Well, this merger, dear. If anybody had been hurt, it could have killed the whole deal. Papers would pick it up, and you know how people talk. Wrecking my own car. There's always the suspicion that you've been drinking.
Yes. I guess your merger could have been killed on that bridge.
I knew you'd understand when you thought about it.
Yes, Wynn. I understand. Perfectly.
I think I'd better go. I haven't even seen my new apartment yet, you know.
We'll have Walter drive you.
Of course. I'll have him get the other car out immediately.
You'll come out often, Mary?
Anytime you want me, Thalia. And if there's anything I can do, tell me. You're my oldest friend. You know I love you.
Love. That's a strange word, Mary. There are two kinds of love. One is like a cut flower that withers and dies. The other is like your love, Mary, strong like a tree. Make sure you get that kind of love. Your kind of love. Love like Wynn's is helpless and mute. It never shouts out across great time and space. With people like Wynn, only fear and self-desire are strong. Cruelty is the child of despair. An orphan we leave on the doorstep of those we love, because others won't take it. Perhaps I should have left Mary her illusions. We might have been closer while the last tiny grains of sand are falling in the hourglass. I was lonely without her, lonely in the midst of Wynn's crowded life, with a loneliness that only the lost can know. A month went by, two, three, and then I wrote to her, and she came.
Mary! Mary, I'm glad to see you. Come in.
Thank you. Thalia wrote me. She sounded distressed.
Well, ever since the accident, she's been nervous. Not herself a good part of the time. People have been mentioning it.
I told you she needed attention, Wynn. Why does she refuse to see a doctor?
I don't know. She's full of strange whims. She's got me jumpy, too. I came home one evening, and I could have sworn that I saw that little man from the bridge.
The doctor?
Yes. I thought I saw him leaving the house as I drove up. The servant said no, and when I asked Thalia, she just laughed. But she isn't right. She locks herself in her room, sometimes for days, unless we have a party or some social obligation. And she's fine. She sparkles.
I'm always fine, Wynn. Mary. Dear Mary.
Oh, Thalia, Thalia. Well, you've been ill. You're so thin and so pale.
Nothing that makeup won't fix, as Wynn would say. I haven't said goodnight to Fletcher. Come up with me. Then we can visit. Excuse us, Wynn.
Of course.
How is Fletcher?
He's getting big and gangly. Doing very nicely in school.
Sounds very much like you.
Yes, too much. I wish he were more like Wynn. The earth was made for people like Wynn, Mary.
If you've helped him, he wouldn't be so important without you. I think he knows that.
Yes, he does. He knows that. Fletcher is in this room now. We gave him a bigger space to grow in.
He liked it so well when his room was right next to yours.
Boys become independent quite suddenly sometimes.
Come in.
Hello, Fletcher.
Mary! Mary! Hello, Mother.
I came up to say goodnight to you, dear.
Good night, Mother.
I haven't seen Fletcher for so long, Thalia. May I stay with him for a moment?
Well, all right. I'll see you in the library, Mary. Good night, son.
Good night. Mary! Mary!
What, Fletcher? What's the matter?
Why can't we go back to the Cape, Mary? Why can't
we? Fletcher, here now, stop that crying. You go back to the Cape again in the summer.
I want to go back now. Mother is different there. She doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't even kiss me goodnight.
She probably forgot just because I'm here.
No, she never does. Not since we came back.
Your mother isn't well, Fletcher, and she has so much to do.
Then why did she leave me my dog? She sent him away. She sent Nugs away.
Sent Nugs away? But your mother loved Nugs. Was he injured or sick?
No, he wasn't. She just didn't like him anymore. Nugs knew it, too. He knew she was going to send him away because he growled at her and he ran away and hid under the bed.
I see. Look, Fletcher, tell you what. I'll find out where she sent Nugs and I'll get him and take him to live with me. And then you can come over and see him, all right?
Will you, Mary? Will you?
Yes, Fletcher. Tomorrow. Now you go to bed.
All right, Mary. Mary? Would you kiss me goodnight?
Oh, Fletcher, Fletcher.
Well, Mary, you and Fletcher are a new old acquaintance?
Yes, we.
Why do you look at me so strangely, Mary?
Why, you look beautiful, Thalia. A few minutes ago, you were so white.
You're just too imaginative. You've been worrying about me too much.
I've been thinking of sending Thalia to Europe for a good rest, Mary. After the merger goes through, of course.
Yes. I can't leave until that merger goes through, Mary. I'm very important until then.
Thalia, why do you have to read new meanings into my words? I only suggested a vacation for you.
After the merger.
How's the merger going, Wynn?
I can tell you that, Mary. It's going very nicely. I handle it, really. We entertain the lords of industry at dinner, and in some mysterious way, vast corporations become one. It makes a wife a necessity.
You know you'll love it. Invite Mary to the next shebang and let her see how well you do it.
Yes. You must come to my next performance, Mary. The play goes on beautifully. Especially since nobody was hurt in the accident on the bridge.
Really, Thalia, I think I've had enough of that. I have some work in my study.
Mary, I
hear you. What, Thalia?
My head, Mary. It aches. It aches so.
Oh, you poor darling.
Thursday night, another dinner. I can't endure it. Help me, Mary. You must. I need you now more than I ever did when I... More than I ever did before.
I'll do anything you say.
Come to dinner Thursday. Say you will.
I'll come.
And forgive me for tonight. I think you'd better go home now. If you stay, I might tell you things you wouldn't care to live with. I didn't think to ask an extra man, Mary. Very thoughtless of me.
Your wonderful dinner indicates a great deal of thought. Besides, it gives me a chance to sit next to you.
I'm glad of that, too.
Bella, dear, J.B. is talking to you.
Oh, sorry, J.B. You're one man I always listen to. What did you say?
Well, I just said that you were more charming than ever. I told Wynn that you're just about the prettiest wife in the whole automobile industry. And I'll stick to that until my wife gets me home.
Sam. Sam, while everybody's in such a good mood, why don't we let the girls in on a little secret, huh?
Okay. Okay.
All right, quiet, everybody. Quiet. Sam has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of announcing the merger of all our automobile interests into the new Regal 8 Corporation with Mr. Wynn Corson as our great president.
So, it's settled. It's finally done.
Look at Wynn. He's beaming. I've never seen him like that.
Neither have I. Mary, neither have I.
Now, hold on, folks. Hold on. I've got a little toast to propose. Let's drink to Thalia Corson, the real power behind this boy of ours.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
Thank you, J.B., and thanks to all of you, because I deserve that toast more than any of you will ever know.
What do you mean by that?
Thalia.
You've got your merger, Wynn, and now I've got my freedom.
Thalia!
Help me, Mary.
Please, everybody. My wife hasn't been well. Please go on. I'll rejoin you in a minute.
I'll get you upstairs in your bed, Thalia. Just hold on.
Dear Mary.
Here, let me help.
You help me, Wynn.
I think you might have saved this for when we were alone, Thalia. Telling me you want your freedom right in front of my guests. I won't have a divorce at this time. Do you hear? I won't have it.
Go back to your guests, Wynn. I'm not going to divorce you.
I told you to watch your nerves. I'll be up to see you later.
Mary? Telephone number on the cover of the book. Call a doctor. The one from the bridge.
Why did you leave her alone? Well, don't stand here crying. Go in. Thalia! Thalia, let me in. You here?
Don't!
Thalia!
Don't! The doctor's in there.
Doctor? What doctor? That fool from the bridge?
Yes, Mr. Corson. The fool from the bridge.
If you've disturbed her, I'll...
Mr. Corson. You were the one who disturbed her. But you never will again.
She's dead?
She died months ago, there on the bridge.
Dead.
But you called to her, and she came back because she thought you wanted her. I'd suggest you stay out of this room.
I'll make the necessary arrangements.
I'm sure you will, Wynn. You can arrange anything, can't you?
Well, what do you mean?
I'll tell you, Wynn. I told Mary what it was that called me back from the dead. I told her about love. Your kind of love. The love that leaves you alone forever. You can't call me back this time, Wynn. Your love is helpless and mute. It can never shut out or shout out across great time and space. Only your fear and self-desire are strong. And I mourn for you, Wynn, because they are all you ever have.
James Hilton.
Perhaps the story we've just heard serves to prove that love is deathless, or perhaps it's the sort of story each listener should interpret for himself. Anyhow, I'd like to say for myself that I can readily understand why it is that we hear so much lately about the magnificent acting ability of Miss Jane Wyman. Miss Wyman, for the entire Hallmark family, our thanks for a gripping performance this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Hilton. It was an honor to be on the Hallmark Playhouse. And I do want you to know, however, that I'm really an ordinary person, even though I may be cast sometimes as a deaf girl or the kind of woman I portrayed in tonight's story. But playing the part of unfortunate people has its advantages. You come to realize how important it is to have friends and how necessary a little thoughtfulness is in this world. That's why I'm especially fond of your Hallmark people and your fine Hallmark cards. You have a tradition of friendship and thoughtfulness.
Thank you, Miss Wyman, for your compliment. We Hallmark people try to make that our guiding inspiration. So until next Thursday, this is James Hilton saying good night.
Look for Hallmark cards that are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember, Hallmark cards, when you care enough to send the very best. You'll see a fine Hallmark card illustrated on the January cover of Best Year's Magazine, now on your newsstand. This is Frank Goss saying good night from the Hallmark Playhouse. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Hallmark Playhouse, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 13th, 1949 on CBS. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.